Are you ready for this session? Now hold someone's hand and say, Heavenly Father, we stand in faith together in this session, and we receive a free flow of revelation of your word. There is no error in this atmosphere. We have accuracy and precision. No contradiction. Our minds are open to receive the truth that is found in Christ Jesus. We behold him as he sees us in him. Amen! Glory to God. Alright, quick now. Praise the Lord. So we said in the morning that the eyewitness account is a narration, not an explanation. Itself required an explanation. And I took us through the sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 1, for example, that's just that one, Acts 1, 21, 22. Acts 2, from verse 16 down to 37, where Peter preached. And then they asked the question, what men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 3, at the beautiful gate, from about verse 8, down to verse 23, 24, thereabout, 26, and then to, thereabout. And Acts 4 as well. Then Acts 4 verse 23 down to verse 30. Acts 5 verse 32, I showed you that earlier on. Acts 10, all right, now, verse 37 to verse 43. And Acts 13, Paul now, from about verse 17 down to verse 33. You saw that the sermons recognize the eyewitnesses. But the eyewitnesses are recognized as a fulfillment of Scripture, not as an explanation. But the fulfillment is critical to our explanation. And I said to you, and we looked at Peter's explanation of that. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 and down to 21. Where Peter explained that we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then we said that he made a distinction in there by saying what we saw is confirmed by a more sure word of prophecy, or better still, confirmed by the utterances. The word there, sure word of prophecy, word of prophecy is the word propheticon, utterances of the prophet. We said that. And then we said that obviously what they saw, what Jesus did in the four Gospels, the Word became flesh, is a fulfillment of prophecy. That's what it is. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It's not a creation. And we said, what prophecy? We said that prophecy, Peter explained it, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, as that lamp, alright, that now began to shine. The prophecy. Final. It began to become visible. Visible. It says, like the day dawn, or day dawn, and then the day star, phosphorus, light, arise in your heart. So you take it to dwell, to do well. Take it to this. That this light shined, it shined gradually in the midst of darkness, in the midst of obscurity, the word archmeros, obscurity, where the character of God was contradictory. He said, but there was a light that kept a singular light about God that shined and shined till the day dawned. It broke out of shadows. Then the day star, he says, arise in your hearts. Hallelujah. And so we said, we have the eyewitness, and then we also have the Spirit's witness. Now, look at something. In John's Gospel 14, Jesus, watch this, is very critical. You mustn't lose this one. In verse 16, you know, I told you, if you look at his sermon from verse 14 to 17, the focus was on who? Talk to me now. Was on who? The Father. In verse 16, And I pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. That wasn't a third person. That's the same person. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you. Because that's what he said earlier to Philip. And he shall be in you. In other words, the Father, whom he replaces with the word the Spirit, will be in you. Jesus consciously has said it. He said, God, in John 4, 23 and 24, is a spirit, or a spirit. And he was talking about the Father. And they that worship him will do it in spirit and in truth. And the same thing he says here. He says, you will know, in verse 20, in that day, that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You will know. Praise the Lord. Pay good attention here. You will know. In other words, you will gradually learn this. You will know. Now, look at the prayer of Paul. Look at the prayer of Paul. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prayed. And again, the King James. I love the King James. No disclaimer. I love the King James. The King James says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Can you say, will give to you the spirit? I love King James. But he can't give to you the spirit. Because he had already told you, in 13 and 14, you are sealed with the spirit. Which is the guarantee. So how can he give you? Which spirit is he giving you? Note, actually, he will give you wisdom of the Spirit. Not spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. Or we can put it in today's term, spiritual wisdom. Wisdom of the Spirit, which he now called revelation. Revelation is the word apocalypsis. Of course, not the word rhema. People think rhema is revelation because they are both R. Apocalypsis means to uncover. Remember, that is what Jesus said to Peter. My Father, which in heaven, has revealed it unto you. So revelation is not experience. Say revelation is not experience. Revelation is not flesh and blood. Very good. So he says, you will have revelation. Revelation does not... Oh, let me put it like this. Revelation is different from eyewitness. If I ask you, who is that fellow? Oh, you say, well, he's tall, he's dark, and handsome. I'm pointing to nobody in particular. Who is that sister? Oh, she's gorgeous. And some guys who even go extreme. Dead, drop dead gorgeous. So who is dying? Okay? And that's okay. Then I point to somebody else. Who is that? He's just one brother like that. You get the point. So you are not speaking by revelation. You are just talking. But you see, Christianity is only understood by revelation. It's by revelation. So Paul says, I'm praying that this knowledge, which he called epignosis. Epignosis is not a spiritual term. Epignosis, he says, is a spiritual information or a knowledge of spiritual things. A knowledge of spiritual things. He says, the eyes of your understanding. Now, if they ask you today, they say, where are your eyes? I'm very sure you point to the two sockets in here. The eyes. I can't see it now. I can't see it now. But it says the eyes of your heart. That's the word that's in the word cardia. The eyes of your heart. So you have eyes sharper than these ones. There are eyes outside this. See, we cannot live the Christian life by experience. There's sometimes everybody is fidgeting. And there's an old noise. But you just come. And they're wondering, can't you see what I'm seeing? No, I'm seeing what you are not seeing. The eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart. Now, I remember years ago, this is by the way, but I just have to say this. There was a great prophet of God that I respect. You know, I may not respect what he preached, as it were, in all he preached. But I was one day in his office, and then he said to me, I should write down an address. And I'm in his office, and all my eyes are so sharp because I looked at his office quickly, and my eyes just captured everything. And he said, take the pen and write this. And as I took the pen, the man physically was impaired, blind. People said he was blind. I still don't agree. And then the man said, not that pen, the other one. I felt like, what if I wanted to steal? He saw it. And I felt, there are eyes outside this. That see. That see. The moment you try to know you like this, you will never know you. The believer is not known after the flesh. No. It says the eyes of your heart. And you ought to know that. There are times you will see things like this. And nobody around you has seen it. And the answer is real to you. And I said, visions are the lowest type of revelation. Visions are the lowest type. Epignosis is the highest type. Unemotional, no drama. The highest type. Are you still out there? So Paul is praying. And he's saying the eyes will be enlightened. Use the word potizo. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. It means there's lights. Beaming light. That you may know what is the hope of this calling. Hallelujah. Now, notice that after he prayed that prayer, he now began to explain. Then he got to chapter 3. And that's why that prayer doesn't work on its own. If you pray the Pauline prayer and then you are reading 66 ways to maximize your potentials or die empty or live full or the giant in you, the prayer just has the power, but it's not working. Enough said in chapter 3. This is Paul. In verse 2, he says, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I wrote afore in a few words. Can we take verse 4 together? Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That prayer was for the Pauline epistles. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In chapter 1, verse 3, he has said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. He calls what makes us believers spiritual, non-material. He calls what makes us believers non-material. You cannot see what is non-material with the natural eyes. You cannot. That's what he's saying. Interestingly, one of the things he calls spiritual, we'll look at that tomorrow, was forgiveness. He says forgiveness of sins in verse 7 is a spiritual reality. You don't feel it. You don't experience it. You have it. He calls it spiritual. He calls your acceptance in the beloved as a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Leave that for tomorrow. So, in other words, just like Jesus said, what happened to us in the new birth is not a healing. It's not a miracle. It's not a new job. Thank God for those things and we're grateful for them. But it's far higher than that. He's more valuable than that. And I suspect that the reason why many people are grappling with the realities of redemption is because of those gospels that always identify salvation with what is temporary. I told you last night that 2 Corinthians 5:17 was it, therefore when a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. When he says all things are passed away, he's no longer talking to that man. It's not habits. It's not habits. Habits go by growth in the word. Habits are formed and they are deformed. That's not what he's talking about. He says new creature, which is the word kainosthesis. A creation that had not been before. If there's a creation that had not been before, then nothing passed away. That's the word he's talking about. What passed away was already discussed in chapter 3. He said there was a law written on tables of stone. He said, but now it is written on the tables of your heart. Then he mentioned that the law had been abolished. Glory to God. That's what he was saying. Passed away. That is, you don't see yourself in that old covenant of the letter of the law. You see yourself in Christ, and in Christ you are a new creature. So what passed away was a condemnation, the death of the old covenant, the punishment, the sin consciousness. So if habits remain, there's still a new creature. And that new creature begins to form new habits. Are you still there? Are you still out there? That's why Paul said, such were some of you. But now you are washed. You are justified. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Get that right. Because of this lack of understanding, that's why people get born again. Then they wonder, how come I still have these kind of thoughts if all things are passed away? That is by growth. But you know, it can happen because you are now a new creature. Nobody was born with a habit. You were born, you now form the habit. Now that you are born again, you begin to form new habits. Say, I form new habits. I form godly habits. Because I'm born of the word. Hallelujah. Still out there? So it's not, what happened to us was not a change of moral code. Even though our morality, the love of God, the Spirit of God, forms habits for us. Hallelujah. We're gentle people. We're long-suffering people. We're patient people. We're self-controlling people. Praise self-controlled people. Praise God. We're joyful people. We're kind people. We're forgiving folks. Praise God. We're not ruled by habits. Praise God. We're not ruled by the senses. Praise God. Hallelujah. Still out there? So Jesus, go back to John 14. Jesus brought to us the truth about the Father. In John 1:18, we said that earlier. He says, no man had seen God at any time save the Son, which is the bosom of the Father. He had declared him. He had explained him. The voice of Christ was the voice of the Father.
He had explained him. That's why he said in John 5:37, did you see any voice? Did you hear anything? The prophet spoke and they were testifying of me. John 5:39. So Jesus, hear this. He brings the Father to us. He is the Word God, John 1:14, that became flesh. And I saw him. We saw his humanity. So in John 14, because we had seen his humanity, and in that humanity, many of those who followed him yet didn't recognize him. In other words, humanity can be deceptive. They didn't know him. And then he says, in John 14, he says, in that day, remember, the day we are in, you will know that I'm in my Father, and I am in you, and you are where you are in me. He uses a preposition that cannot be changed. He says, you are in. I am in. I am in. It's stronger than identification. It's an indwelling. So you have to use in again. You can't but use the word in. And because it is in, the only way you can see it is by revelation. Revelation means to uncover. So he says to us that the Father has come to us in salvation. And he calls it the Allos Parakletos. The Spirit. Not that the Father gave us his Spirit, so he stayed away. The Father came to us in his Spirit. Because Jesus said, the Father is Spirit. John 4, 23 and 24. The Father is Spirit. He came to us. And he dwells in us. In the new birth. In the new birth. Or at the new birth. He dwells in us today. And that's why, you know, we said in the morning, remember that Jesus spoke more about the Father, that fact of the Father, in the last chapters of John than he did in the other ones. Because that was a vital truth. And then interestingly, in the book of Acts, just two times, Acts 1:4, Acts 2:33. And we said, why? Because they were evangelistic sermons. The Father fact is a family truth. They were evangelistic sermons. It's a family truth. Pay attention here now. And look at the epistles. All of them. Look at how they were written. Look at Romans 1. All of them were written with that fact. Romans 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, God's saints. Say, I'm a saint. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It looks like he's sending a greeting from the Father. That is really awkward. So where is the Father? Say, the Father is greeting you. That's not what he meant. Hallelujah. Those opening words summarize the letter. You know when you want to write a letter and then you write request for reimbursement. You know that's the opening, what do you call it now? The title. The title of the book. The title of the letter. Say, dear sir, request for my allowance. So everything you are going to say is that subject. That is, everything is in that title. So when the apostles opened the letter And they say, grace to you. That summarizes the entire letter. Hallelujah. Who's following what I'm saying tonight, this afternoon? Praise the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Pay attention here. The same things were said in 1 Corinthians 1, 2 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1. In all of the Pauline letters. So let's leave Paul. We have enough. If we're going to read Paul, we're going to spend the whole afternoon. You know, Paul wrote so much about the Father. More than all the... One letter of Paul, in fact, one chapter, allow me to use that word, of Paul, has the word Father more than all the other epistles put together. You know why? You know why? He had the Spirit witness. Single. It's in the Spirit witness that you will see it. We'll see something later. James 1:17. He calls him the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17. 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Peter opened the same things. 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Peter says the same thing. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, on obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. They were not greeting, they were explaining. That this is what you have. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1. So the father fact of Christianity is not one of the other issues. You say, God is this, God is that, God is this one, then he is also. No. The father fact of God is the revelation of Christianity. Don't miss that. 2 Peter 1. The same thing. Quickly go to John. 1 John. 1 John 1. John says in verse 2. For the light that was manifested, that we have seen it, then bear witness and show unto you that eternal light which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Just the same thing Paul said. The writer of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:5. Again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. In chapter 2, verse 10, he says, Jesus Christ has brought many sons unto glory. Then in chapter 12, talking about spiritual growth. How does he teach us spiritual growth? He says, in verse 9, furthermore, we have had our fathers after our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them our reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Because he had talked about the correction of the Father, which is spiritual growth. Hebrews 12, verse 5. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ called. Hallelujah. Say, I'm preserved. I'm sanctified in Christ by the Father. So, the letters they wrote, what they said about the Father is a present reality. It's a reality. It's not, I greet you from God. No. That opening of Paul's letters is a summary of everything he wrote. So if there's a correction, it's a father correcting the children. If there's a rebuke, it's a rebuke of the father for the children. It's not an external consultant or coordinator or supervisor of act and attitude and habits. No. He's the very husbandman. Hallelujah. So the further fact of Christianity is not an afterthought. It's not the one of the secondary things we discuss. Is a primary thing we discuss. So, watch this now. Paul writes much about this. And I told you, it's not a greeting. In other words, he writes about the believer as the work of the Father. Say, I'm the Father's work. Say it again, I'm the Father's work. And the reality is a spiritual reality. Remember, Jesus said, we will know the Father as the Spirit. We will know the Father. Because he says, he will be in you. So that day you will know that I'm in the Father. And I'm in you. And you are in me. So we will know the Father in the Spirit. Everything the Father is doing in the church is in the Spirit. Because we will know the Father in the Spirit. The Father is in the Spirit. Say the Father is in the Spirit. Say again, the Father is in the Spirit. We will know the Father in the Spirit. And so, notice that. And that is a reality of the new creation. It is a reality of the new creation. And so, when you hear the word in Christ, you can change it for in the Spirit. Or in the Father. The same thing. In Christ. Because the term in Christ is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. Say, you know, that brother used to be in Christ. Why do you say that? Because he has stopped coming to church. So he used to be in Christ when we were in secondary school. In university, he was moving from Christ to the world. But eventually, when I saw his haircut, many of you don't understand what I'm saying. Haircut. You thought, some of you who got born again, not too far from now, you don't know what haircut can do to your salvation. You don't know it at all. You don't have an idea. If you put pattern, we call it pattern in Yoruba, pattern on your head, like this, you say, bro, what's going on? In fact, there was a song composed at the point for brethren like that. Keep on wearing your jeans. Keep on palming your hair, brother. Jesus is coming back again. It's a song. Keep on wearing lipstick. Keep on wearing eyeshadow, sister. And as they are singing that song, you're in the congregation. Will you sing it? Just to sing. Somebody sat me down for about 2 hours. Because I caught Tyson. Say, does this glorify the Lord? And I felt so bad. That evening, I now put skin. Like Pastor, your natural hair. Hallelujah. And I just said, so at that point when my hair began to look toward the sun, I was now a new creature. It didn't make sense anymore. So you know you are a new creature now. So you have to conform to the Christianity that we have. Your Christianity is a holy thing. And I saw when you, you know, when you came for the altar call. I can see where you came from. But this is a new life entirely. A new life. Okay? So, because it's a new life, you have to change your life. I thought you said there's a new life. You have to change your lifestyle. Right? This your resource is shining too much. Because if you use gold now, it will depreciate your gold in the New Jerusalem. You never heard these kind of things before. In fact, someone said he saw a vision that people got to heaven and they were turned back because they had earrings. How would we get so daft? Earrings? Spiritual earrings? My dear friend then said, the reason why they were turned back was because the earrings were fake. I have some very crazy friends, you know. So, you know, that's the kind of idea that we have. So, by the time you raise a Christian to be holy by experience, he will never understand it. That holiness is supernatural. Faith is supernatural. Righteousness is supernatural. Love is supernatural. Why? Because the faith, the Christianity, the new man is supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I believe a supernatural message of a supernatural event with a supernatural faith. I have a supernatural life. Glory to God. Nothing in the process is natural. Nothing. And you cannot come to know anything in the process by the natural senses. Nothing is. The hearing of the gospel and the faith to it, they are supernatural. What comes with it are supernatural. Paul calls it blessedness of the Spirit. Ephesians 1:3. That is why the epistles focus a lot on that. You would have thought they would write a lot about Jesus, or those 40 days they spent with him. What did he say? What did he not say? What did he drink? What did he not drink? They almost weathered down that fact. Because the more they said those things, the farther they will be from the reality. Because the reality of the man they touched is bloody, was spiritual. The reality of that man, from his incarnation, hear me, till his death, till his burial, till his resurrection, all those truths are spiritual. So they touch his body, they ate with him. Yet the reality was far from that experience. We said it yesterday, that's the ascension. They saw him in his resurrection, but it would take understanding to see him in his ascension. Are you still there? And so Paul writes this way. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul will be our friend. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, I don't want to conclude, but it appeared to me. But I don't want to conclude because I don't want to get in trouble with my theology friends. But it assumed somehow that the job Paul did could not have been handled by the 12. See, they had had too much of a physical experience with Christ. It had to be someone that never had it. But I'm thinking, they had too much of Christ, even in his resurrection. But there was a man that never came to Jerusalem. He never did. He never did. So, this man, in chapter 3, verse 2, You have heard, he says, of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to you. Now, the word dispensation, when you read it in normal English, is dispensation, time. Say, there are seven dispensations. Dispensation of innocence. We have seven like that. But the word dispensation here is stewardship. It's not time. It's the word oikonomia. O-I-K-O-N-O-M-A. Or M-M-I-A. It means stewardship. It's used for business stewardship, for example. If you are put in charge of something. In Luke 16, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, Jesus used it for trade and commerce. Where a man gave talents, or he gave things for stewards to be over. When you're a manager of an industry, that is oikonomia, that's dispensation. Then again, Paul used it for the preaching of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Same thing. So a dispensation is committed to me. That is a stewardship. In Ephesians 3, 9, the same thing. In Colossians 1, 25. So Paul had a particular stewardship. There was a truth given to him to administer. Very unique to him. In life, learn to accept the grace of God. I tell people, God doesn't take our permission to choose whom he chooses. He doesn't. You cannot determine who God will use to bless you. That's why one of the most stupid things you can do is to get into strife with men God has chosen to use. And that's the truth. That men that God, by his grace, see, they don't have to work for it. Paul says, I'm what I am. He said, I've labored more abundantly than all the apostles. He said, but it's not yet I, but the grace of God that is with me. So he wasn't saying, I was just walking so I was better than them. No. The laboring more was a dispensation. For example, now, of course, I know that we have the foundational apostles, of which Paul was one. And that's different from what I'm about to say. You have people like Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin was obviously chosen by God to teach certain things that are in the scriptures and bring them to the light, to the church, in a unique way. A man like E.W. Kenyon, they taught things that 18 years of Greek and Hebrew, you won't see it. Some guys think he's lining up Greek materials. Stay on it. You'll be fine at last. No. You must recognize the grace of God. Grace first, then walk. Not walk for the grace. No. What Paul was doing was designated to him. It was. It had nothing to do with his history. It had nothing to do with his past. So, Paul had that dispensation. And Peter recognized it. 2 Peter chapter 3. I can show you, and I will be doing it in a couple of years, that every epistle had the Pauline revelation. I can tell you that the reason why all the epistles were put together was because of the Pauline revelation. I can prove it to you in 18 ways. The reason why Peter's letters, there were other letters by other apostles. But the reason for those ones was because of this oikonomia. Because without this oikonomia, the truth about redemption will not be known as we know it today. 2 Peter chapter 3. Still in church? And verse 15. And account the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul had, according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. The word there is Sophia. He said, given to him. There was no other person Peter wrote that about. Paul says, made known to me. Peter says, given to him. They recognized it. When he came to Jerusalem, they recognized that revelation. They had to. Because he wasn't qualified to be a foundation apostle of the church. By eyewitness, he wasn't qualified. But they knew that there was the eyewitness and there was a spirit witness. And the eyewitness, hear this now, was guaranteed by the spirit witness. So where a man comes up with a spirit witness, the way Paul did, they had to accept him in the beloved. Irrefutable truth. If you read Romans, you drop it and say, Paul! Ah! I said, ah! He made the Jew want to be saved. Ah! Hallelujah! He recognized it. He did. That this, the long suffering of God's salvation, said he had a Sophia, a uniqueness, a wisdom, an insight. What is that insight? Remember that knowing the Father is by the Spirit. Knowing the Father is by the Spirit. We said that. In Paul in 1 Corinthians 2 9, he says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Neither has entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them, praise the Lord, unto us. How? By his Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, if we are going to find out what Jesus did, all the realities of the work of Christ are spiritual in nature. All the realities are spiritual in nature. All the realities are spiritual in nature. And so Paul says, we have received not the spirit of this world, 1 Corinthians 2:12, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the truth is communicated to us in the spirit, and then we become spiritually active, born of God, born of the spirit. And then he calls us spiritual men. Are you there? I said, are you there? In John 16, go to verse 12. Let's see something quickly and we'll jump back here. John 16. And verse 12. Learning something here? Are you learning something here? I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Again, you know, there's a challenge in here. He will guide you into all of the truth. For he shall not speak of himself. But whatever he shall hear. Now, how can he hear? And then he's the one guiding you. Terrible transition. Whatever you shall hear, not he hearing, shall he speak. He will show you. He is in the showing. You are in the receiving. That's what he's telling them. He will show you things to come. Take it down. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine the what I've done and show it to you. All things the Father hath are mine. Now, is he talking about a third party or the Father? Huh? Okay, wait. The next chapter, he says, verse 1, glorify thy Son, that thy Son might be glorified, might glorify thee. That's what he's saying. So the Father reveals the Son. John 16, 12, 13, 14. He reveals the Son. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of this reality. What reality? The reality of the family. Because the truth he's talking about there is the family. And the spirit of that reality is the father. You can't have a family without a father. That is the spirit of truth. The spirit of the family. Who's following what we're saying this afternoon? Follow this now. So here is Paul. Paul says, I have a uniqueness. I have a stewardship now. So if he is going to teach this stewardship, he will teach spiritual realities. He will. Paul couldn't write eyewitness. Because the reality here is spiritual in nature. That will mean, this is very critical now, pay attention now. That will mean the Christ that will be penned down by the epistles will not be after the flesh. Who's following this? Come on. It can't be after the flesh. The post-resurrection Christ is a spiritual entity. And so, they must pen down. Because if you're going to write Revelation, you must write spiritual realities. Truth that are found in the Spirit. Glory to God. Now watch this. Was Paul correct to say he had this oikonomia? Watch this. In all the other epistles, James, John, Peter, Hebrews, and Jude, they use the term spirit 28 times. 28. Remember, take the census. James 2:26 said the body without the spirit is dead. So that one is just illustration. James 4:5, almost controversial. Said the spirit that you have received, lost is your envy. I've explained that to you by syntax. Just once. 1 Peter 1:2, it mentioned our sanctification. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:11, the prophecies of the prophets of the Old Testament. So, it mentions our sanctification, spiritual reality. Then it goes back to the Old Testament to talk about their prophecies. So, that's just one. Who's following what I'm saying here? One. You must pay attention here. In 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. Maybe we should look at it. 1 Peter 1:22. It talks about the new birth by saying, we obey the Spirit, the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 3:18, the resurrection of Christ, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. So they scarcely use the term Spirit for the believer. 1 Peter 3, I skipped that out, sorry for that. Verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is an incorruptible ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. I will allow that to be new birth for the purpose of this teaching. Chapter 4, verse 6. But live according to God in the Spirit, the new birth. Chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part it is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. And that's all. In 1 John 3, that's John, 1 John 3, take care of this now, 1 John 3:24, John uses it for the new birth. 1 John 3:24. 1 John 3:24. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. So the Spirit is not a gift. The Spirit is he himself living in us. Can you say an amen to that? John recognizes that. Then 1 John 4, where he's talking about testing the spirits, whether they be of God. that which one acknowledges. Now that is about preaching. 1 John 4. That's verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. That's preaching. Then in verse 6, we are of God, he that knows God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, he's still talking preaching in that context. In verse 13, he says, hereby we know that we dwell in him. Let's take it together now. Hereby we know, and in us, because he has what? So you see, the spirit is not a gift. The spirit is God himself. Who's following this? Come on. So, in 1 John 5, verse 6. 1 John 5, verse 6. He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water and blood, but by water only, but by water and blood. Now, water and blood here, don't go and look for revelation anywhere. It was the evidence of the soldiers at his crucifixion when they saw water and blood. That's why he called it human witness. In verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, so the water and blood is the witness of men. Then he says, it is the spirit, verse 6, that bears witness because the spirit is truth. So he calls the spirit eternal life. Is that very clear? So don't say the water there is the word. The blood there is forgiveness of sins. You know what men of nowadays, they create just bala, everything is kisses. Just create new things. Follow this one. Jude 19 says they don't have the spirit. That's a new birth. Once. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. Separating soul from spirit. Nothing definite. But Hebrews 9:14 says, who by the eternal spirit, redemption now, by the eternal spirit. Hebrews 10:29, the spirit of grace. Now quickly look at this one. Hebrews 1:7, it makes his angels spirits. Angels. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits? Hebrews 12:9, the father of spirits. Now obviously, Hebrews 12:23, pay attention now. Hebrews 12:23, spirits of just men made perfect. That's a new birth. So altogether, we have 28. I'm coming to the word Holy Ghost shortly. 28. Now hear this. In just Romans, Paul has the word spirit 28 times. Plus a few more, because sometimes we have variables. 28. In Romans. So, if he says he has a dispensation, I agree. In Romans. Hear this one. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 50 times. 50. So, we have canceled 28. So, we are standing on 50 alone. With no opponent. Don't mind me. In Galatians, 18 times. 18. In Ephesians, 15 times. In Philippians, 4 times. Colossians, twice. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 6 times. 1st and 2nd Timothy, 5 times. Just Paul. Now, look at the term Holy Ghost. The term Holy Ghost was used by Peter in 1 Peter 1:12, talking about the preaching of the gospel. Ministry. 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, Old Testament. Most of the time when they use the word Holy Ghost, they refer to the Old Testament. Hebrews 6:4. The writer of Hebrews, partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2:4. Signs, wonders, diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. So Hebrews 2:4, the preaching of the gospel. Hebrews 6:4, partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 3:7, the Holy Ghost speaketh. That is the Old Testament, that had in not your heart in the day of provocation. Hebrews 3:7. Hebrews 9:8, the Holy Ghost signified that the way to the holiest has not yet appeared. Hebrews 9:8. Again, it's talking about the prophecy of the Old Testament. Then Hebrews 10:15 again, the Holy Ghost, Old Testament. So more often again, you see, they refer to the Holy Ghost as an Old Testament action of the prophets. Not all the time. But here Paul. Paul uses Holy Ghost 16 times. Or 18. 16. 16 times. Or 18. Which implies that what Jesus said in that day, you will know, is found more in the Pauline epistles. Because that reality is a spiritual reality. The knowledge of the Spirit is the knowledge of the Father. And Paul had that unique dispensation. Very unique. The knowledge of the Spirit is the knowledge of the Father. That is why the term in Christ, remember what Jesus said. In that day you will know that I am in you, you are in me. Look up everybody. None of the apostles, none wrote that fact except Paul. The term in Christ is exclusive to Paul. Exclusive. In Christ. Because when they said Christ, do not forget that in the four Gospels, the disciples never called him Christ. They called him Christ upon the resurrection. So it was a post-resurrection reality for them. Yet Paul single-handedly had the term in Christ. Do not forget, it's a spiritual reality. Paul single-handedly had the term in Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Learning something? Are you learning something? So, we've always heard, there's one spirit that will come on you, you know, and all that. And lack of knowledge has not made us know that the Spirit is the Father. Hallelujah. The Father. Jesus told us, you will know the Father. How? How? In that day. Said he will abide in you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. Glory to God. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 5. You learning something? Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Can you imagine? Though we have known Christ after the flesh. What part of the Bible is this? Huh? The four Gospels. Because he himself knew Christ after the flesh. They gave him eyewitness accounts. Say, yet now, henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man, hallelujah, beware in Christ. Is that in the four Gospels or in his resurrection? Or better still, in his ascension? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things, Paul says, are become new. Referring to the old covenant, the new covenant. All things of God who has reconciled himself. Reconciled to himself by Jesus Christ. Watch this one. Look at how Paul explains this fact. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. I guess I skipped that. Verse 3. You are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And so to us, 2 Corinthians 3:4, we have through Christ to God word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, But what? Can we say God gave life? See the same thing? Is the Spirit there, God? Are you still there? Follow this one now. The Spirit gives life. Then he goes on, talks about the ministry of death. And then the ministry of the Spirit in verse 8. Then he mentioned condemnation. Then in verse 7, he says, this one that was the mission of death, he's done away with. Those are the old things that passed away. Then he says in verse 11, if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds, look at verse 14, make sure you read your Bible, were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now, pay attention here. Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Look at 17. Let's take 17 together. Now, take it again. Now, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He says the Lord is that Spirit. Not a gift. Not one of the benefits of salvation. No! The Lord is that Spirit. Then he says, we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And our change is not a gradual progression. Into the same image, from that glory to this one, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the new birth. By the Spirit of the Lord. He says the Lord is that Spirit. Because Jesus said, in that day, you will know I am in my Father. And I am in you. And you are in me. Spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. So, the Christian life is a spiritual reality. You must know that. Watch this now. In the four Gospels. Notice this. They use the term master most of the time for Jesus. 58 times, about 56 to 58 times. Jesus himself used it about 17 times. And also the word rabbi. Rabbi. 7 times. Then just one day, Peter says, you are the Christ. Something they were not using. You are the Christ. The Son of the Living God. That's what they called him. You are the Christ. The Son of the Living God. Up till this point, they never called him Christ. And that was who he was. John called him Christ. And then later on, he sent an email. Matthew 11:2. Are you the Christ? Or do we expect another? So he didn't call him Christ. That's accusatory. So he was referred to. There was a term used for Jesus to call Christ 4 times. And they were either accusing him or mocking him. But the apostles themselves didn't call him Christ. They called him Master. Master. Rabbi. Those who were not around hundreds of years before had called him Christ. Hundreds of years. They didn't have to sit in the same sitting room with him. They didn't have to eat with him. Because he is known by revelation. So when Peter says, you are the Christ, it was a revelation. And for you to know that Peter's sitting and out, a few minutes after, he was denying him of being Christ. So when he was crucified, listen carefully now. In Luke 24, he now told them, Luke 24. Remember, in the entire four Gospels, he was hardly called the Christ. Hardly. I won't go to all the details here. He was hardly called the Christ. In Luke 24, when he rose from the dead, he now met his own disciples. And he says to them, Luke 24, in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's why in verse 45, their minds now opened. They now saw who he was, for who he was. In John 20:31, John now says, we wrote these things. John 20, verse 31. He says, we wrote these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Don't forget, he's saying this after Jesus rose from the dead. And after he had come to a whole lot of knowledge. So, who he was, he never was referred to that in the four Gospels as often. Why? Because what they had was an eyewitness account. They couldn't call him Christ by seeing him. You can't call him Christ because he worked miracles. You can't call him Christ because of the way he taught or preached. No. You can only call him Christ by revelation. Now watch this. In the book of Acts, he is called Christ about 31 times. The book of Acts. Paul, now this is important. Notice this. The term Christ was used in the book of Hebrews 13 times. 13. Interestingly, James just twice. Just two times. First to 3 John 14 times. First Peter about 25 times or so. Jude 4 times. Paul 405 times. 405 times. So if he told you a dispensation is committed to me, do you agree? Four hundred and five times. He uses the term Christ because the term Christ is a revelation. It's not eyewitness. Rabbi is eyewitness. Master, of course, somebody who is carrying you all over the place. You have dropped your education, your business, he's taking care of you, preaching, is master. And he's working fine miracles. That's master. But Christ is revelation. To see the one who had been prophesied in the scriptures is revelation. So in this camp meeting, we will begin to unearth this. To see that the realities of Christianity are spiritual in nature. They are. They are spiritual. The truth about Christianity. Paul says, with things the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual men. Comparing spiritual truth with spiritual men. That's Christianity. So the truth about Christianity cannot be found in an handkerchief or in a bottle. Hear me. Or in a pool. No. We're not Christians because we dress alike. And our trousers are like pencil. Our ties like skipping rope. No! Or when you see, Christians, you will know. How? When you see a true child of God, you will know. How? How would you know? You will see their attire. Their skirts are helping visionscape. Or they are just devout men. Devout men. That's Christianity. So we see Christians. That's a brother. That's a sister. That's not Christianity. We're not born again because we wear the same attire. So we have Christian haircut, Christian style. Rubber. So that's a born again Christian. So when all our hair is like Pastor Bonley, our pastor, you say, those are Christians. Skin. Someone said, why would you go and make your hair and go Jerry Curl it? Why not leave it the way God created it? That's Jericho. So, as a true Christian, we must be separate from the world. Say how? Whatever the world is doing, we don't do it. So, the moment the world is having tithing, we do skin. What of when they start having skin? When I hear birds like Aaron, the bearded Christian gang, something like that. You know, you don't know a believer that way. A believer is spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. He's spiritually discerned. Glory to God. So the truth about you, just like the truth about the Father, is found in the Spirit. You see, Jesus did not give us an encounter. He didn't give us a blessing in the new birth. No. He did not give us a healing. He did not give us a miracle. He gave us the Spirit. If you say, what did Jesus do? What did he do? You can summarize it in one word. He gave us the Spirit. One word. And so Paul writes letters unraveling those things. The things you will find in the Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Faith. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of the Son. And all the Father is doing is in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm going to share something very critical. Leave it for tonight. All the Father is doing is in the Spirit. That's why Paul says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. He says revelation will cause you to know. And that revelation, he says, I wrote it for you. As we dwell on those letters, the realities of who we are, they dawn on our hearts. We get to see it. And when you know those things, things will change. They'll change. They'll change. Your perception of things will change. Your perception of yourself will change. So I say, well, I'm a naturally shy person. See what I say? Naturally. They say, what is natural to you? Say shyness. How can you say that? Now, you can say that and you're right in the flesh. What you have said, anybody, whether he's an atheist, can say the same thing. Is that right? Anybody can say that. I'm naturally shy. I'm naturally gifted with gab. I can talk, have oratory. Anybody can say that. Anybody can say that. I'm very good with figures. Not to steal people's money. I can calculate. I'm a good mathematician. Anybody can say that. An atheist can say it. A Muslim can say it. A non-Christian can say it. Hallelujah. But there are some things only found in the Father. Hallelujah. The things we are talking about are spiritual facts. They belong to this family alone. Alone. They belong to this family alone. You must realize that. Paul says, blessed be God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings found where? In Christ. I'm who he says I am. E.W. Kenyon says that's one of the most powerful things you can say. I'm who he says I am. Hallelujah. Because he says that's who you are without he himself seeing you live it. He says that's who you are without he seeing you live it out. Our doing is not how we become. Our doing is a practice of what we have become. Get that right. So these are spiritual realities. You don't know you by reading blogs and fashion magazines. Some of us have studied so much about diseases. A dear friend of mine told me this. He's a medical doctor, consultant in the United Kingdom. He said, people get so curious about diseases that they eventually die of the fear of what they are not suffering from. They just go and Google neck pain. What does it mean? You'll find 18 different probabilities. And your eyes will stick to the most fatal. Does it mean I'm going blind? You have stomach trouble. Even if stomach trouble, Paul did not say, the stomach, he said the stomach infirmity. He didn't try to classify it and give it one medical name. You're a pastor, not a doctor. And then you start, my friend said, you start to stretch. Now say, back pain. 14 probabilities. Paralysis of the thrombosis. I won't. Sometimes, without even going to the hospital, you say, if you are sick here, you come out and you don't know what it is. Hallelujah. You seem to believe that. What if you went into the Word? What if you went into the Word? You go into the Word. Because the Word is your reality. The Word is your reality. Some Christians consult the, what do you call this thing? Tarot. Horoscope. And you see them boldly say it. You know me, I'm cancer. He is, I don't know their names. I know Taros because I should know that one. Scorpios. Say, you know, we on this day. I saw a Christian with horoscope on his phone. So what do I do with it? He said, no, just checking it. Just checking it. Ha! You're not just checking it. You are living in doubt. You are not sure that you are truly victorious. You are not sure that all your habits are godly. You are not sure. So you won't do second opinion. So well, I don't do stars. I don't do all those ones, but I do temperament. In my family, we are four children. Three of us are choleric. My father is sanguine. So, whoever I must marry must be a male. And our children will be crossbreed. Male claw. Or clomer. See where you took yourself from. There's no revelation in knowing that you are choleric. You don't have to be a Christian to know that you are choleric. In fact, as an atheist, you know that very well. But when you are born of God, you say, no, that's not me. I'm who he says I am. How can you share commonness with an unbeliever? Say, the guy's not a Christian. Say, Jay, you know, we. There's no we. Hallelujah. The we is I in Christ. Are you here? I'm in Christ. It's a spiritual reality. I take my reality from the Spirit. The Father. The Father. I know what I have when I look into my source. My source is my Father. What is not in him is not in me. I walk in spiritual reality. The Father gave me no bad habits. The Father gave me no fears. The Father gave me no timidities. The Father gave me no sickness and diseases. The Father gave me no struggles. The Father gave me his Spirit. Glory to God. I must know that. I must know that. We are not subservient to natural things. We are men born of the Spirit. No, we are not subservient to natural things. We are not moved to and fro. No, we are stable on the rock. We are stable on the rock. I'm who he says I am. Paul unveils these things to us. What else can make a man like Peter, who ran from a little girl and was swearing? He's not me. I've never been in Jerusalem for the past 6 years. I don't even know this man. I don't even know him. What did he call him again? Jesus. He comes up and he talks to everybody. Thousands. You men of Judea, hear me. Hear me. This same guy. He had changed what he was looking at. Someone said, but sir, I've been hearing these things. From when it was Faith Family Network to COM to LLM. Now it says community. I'm not hearing it well. If you hear it, you won't even see what you are saying again. Peter heard it for 40 days. Consistently, he got up. He says, wait then. Did anything change in his body? Nothing. Did he have more degrees? No. Was he appointed into any army? No. but the ascension had taken place. Said, in that day you will know I am in you. A man that couldn't face a girl. Now he said, is would rather akin to God than obey you. He told them. Said, we cannot but tell the things that we have seen. What happened to him? What happened? He didn't receive a healing. No. He didn't receive a miracle. That was the Spirit. That was the Spirit. When you come to that realization, your words will change. Your perception will change. Hallelujah. It will change. Sometimes you will speak and people will think you are not being realistic. I'm only being spiritual. Be realistic. No, I'm being spiritual. Hallelujah. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Father dwells in me. I've got no fears. Hallelujah. You know, one time I close here. I was talking to someone about the rapture, making heaven. And the guy said, you know, we don't even know. You know, say, I'm watching this movie and this is happening. So I said, come. I showed her 1 Peter 5. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Says he care. Let him care about what will happen to both of you at the rapture. Hallelujah. I don't think you got that. Let him care about that. Because I am the Father's concern. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. When was the last time you got up and took an hour or two to speak about these spiritual realities? Non-stop. When? You got up. You know, we sing them in songs. And we enjoy the reading. But we don't retain them in our words. These are our realities. They are realities. Here is Paul. Paul. Oh, how close here. Paul. Paul was before Agrippa. He's in chains. He's bound. You know what he told them? He said, I'm a happy man. Are you crazy? You are going to jail. You say, I'm a happy man. So I consider myself. In fact, the version says, I congratulate myself. Nothing changed his mood. Nothing. I'm what he says I am. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I am. When I believe the gospel, everything changed. Some things did not change. Most things did not change. Everything changed. And I'm finding out. And I'm making up my mind to walk in them. To walk in those realities. Everything has changed. In our family, we look to our Father in the Spirit and we know what we have. Remember the prodigal son story. He asked for his father. And I'll talk about that in the evening. He's asking for his father to give him part of the income, part of the property. The father gives him, he goes. He wasted and came back. And then he re-asked his confession. Say, I will go to my father and I will say. That's not sincere. I will go and I will say. You know how you do when you want to talk to your dad? When you're afraid of him or something, you say, I'm going to go and I'm going to fan my face. What's wrong with you? I have headache. Say, sorry. I wanted to also tell you that
So he had rehearsed what he was going to say. The father did not allow him to talk. He didn't even respond to him. And the elder brother said, I've been with you all my life. And the man told him, you are ever with me. And all I have is yours. See how we started? You are with me. And all I have is yours. We look at the Father and we know what we have. We look at the Father. We know what we have. As we walk in that truth, that inheritance, what belongs to this family, we change all our experiences. My experiences are changing. They are changing. As my knowledge changes and it grows, my experiences grow. Hallelujah. Let's pray in other tongues. Come on, pray in other tongues. My experiences grow. They grow. Pray in other tongues. I have what he says I have. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do.